make some announcements. Can I do that? Is something wrong? Sounds like it's bumping. Is it me? Okay, I'll just keep talking. He'll have to adjust it back there. But anyway, I said, Travis, whatever you want to do, be yourself. I found out a long time ago, people are going to find out who you really are anyway, so just be yourself. I'm really proud that he's stepping in and doing what he's doing. And is it okay to say that? Nobody's going to get mad and say you didn't. Like I said before, you only get a T-shirt if you play. Come on. You know what I mean? And what a beautiful thing she played there for the offertory. Nobody's going to get mad for me saying that, is he? Well, people have in the past. They can't keep going. Wow. I just never knew people were so touchy about things. I graduated third from the bottom in my class. At least I wasn't last. That poor dummy was really in trouble. But anyway, I was thinking about, I'll try to give you an update on my latest travel through this cancer thing. You know, when this all started, it was about a year ago. And I had a little knot here, and they said, it's nothing to worry about. Just watch it. I watched it. Next thing I know, I had this soreness in my jaw, so I went back. He said, well, you got to go see the ear, nose, throat doctor. She said, you got TMJ, which is a big, long word that we can't pronounce, and they can't either. But she said, everything's okay, though. You just have to stretch the jaw, do this, do that. It did. Then things started getting bigger, moving around. She said, well, it's nothing. And they did a biopsy. They said, it's nothing. But they said, we can take it out if you want to. So finally, you know, we're going from one doctor to another, one day to another, one appointment to another. And so on the 3rd of January this year, as you remember, they did the surgery. And before she did the surgery, she said, we're going to take this out. You're going to walk out of here today. You're going to be fine. She was standing there crying when I woke up. She said, got bad news. It's cancer. And so we went through that. But it's treatable. And thank God for my radiologist. You know, he told me the truth, and he had a way. He said, you know, you don't look 80. He said, you're not an 80-year-old man. You can take this stuff. Some of those guys cry. But you'll make it. You'll make it. You'll be all right. And in 3 months, you'll be, well, I'm glad they didn't tell me everything, because I probably would have just passed out. So, you know, here I am. I still haven't been able to eat my food yet. But one of the things that has done, my wife was saying before I got this cancer, we don't spend much time together anymore. Now we got to be together every 2 hours to take the fluid. You get what you asked for. You didn't spell out. You know, and sometimes we get a little irritable at it. I'm standing here waiting on you, John, and sometimes I'm standing here waiting on you, Charlotte, but at least we're together. And so we can talk about that. But the latest thing was I went over to Chambersburg, and they were to run the scope down to see what it is. I can swallow, but when it goes down my esophagus, it goes down a little over halfway and comes back up. And so the doctor says, yeah, we can fix that. We'll fix that. So went in. They're running them through like cattle over there. They got people coming in and coming out. And he said, you'll be okay. Will, you'll be out in a few minutes. Woke up. He said, I got bad news. I said, well, we've been down this route before. He said, I couldn't get the scope down because of the scar tissue in there. So I had a friend about, he was here. I don't know if any of you remember when they had my 50th anniversary thing there. Steve Witter. He was a big guy that sang with a beard. Big, handsome looking dude. His dad had a similar problem. And they took him to Hershey. There's a guy by the name of all names, Abraham Matthew. And now he was down like me. He's up to 200 pounds. And he said he's doing fine. So I said, I want that doctor. So we're on the hunt of that doctor or one similar to do something to get me on to the next stage. And another good thing is coming out of that. My preacher son out in Illinois, he said, Dad, let me know when the surgery is. I'm coming out. So God just does a bunch of good things amongst all that, if you can see it. Okay? And I didn't coordinate with the music people, as I told the Sunday school people. So my sermon today is not a patriotic sermon in per se. Mine is on salvation. But next week I'll do that. Maybe want to do a rendition, want to do all that stuff over again. I don't know. It was beautiful, wasn't it? And honoring people. Okay, if you're there in John chapter 3, and the verse I want to focus in on is John chapter 3 and 3, where he said, Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Now, a little later on, he says he cannot enter. But listen to me real intent for a moment. When he said you cannot see, we can translate that, Nicodemus, you can't understand or you can't spiritually visualize what the kingdom of God is. So that's the point I want to make this morning and drive that point home. Being religious, being smart, because he was a master of all of Israel. They had to know the Old Testament by heart. This was an intelligent man. This was no dummy. He was, some say maybe he was a little fearful of the other members of the Sanhedrin court. That's why he came to Jesus by night. But others say, well, Jesus was so busy in the daytime, he wanted to get him alone with a conversation. Can I stop there? You and I need to get alone with Jesus. And another thing, my trip through this cancer has made me sleep a lot. And I wake up in the middle of the night. Sometimes the demons are dancing around the bed. But I can always go to Jesus and spend time with him and go back to sleep like a baby and trust him. You know, we carry our cares. The Bible says, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And we worry and fret. It's been proven that medications and doctors would be on the dwane if more people that call themselves Christian were really in tune with God and touching God. But worry, fretting, high blood pressure, nerve problems, all of that comes from the daily cares and pressing, which Jesus said we're to cast upon him. I want to take those from you. But as I've said many times, Jesus is a gentleman. He doesn't crash into your life and wrestle you to the ground and take your problems and do the things that you want him to do. He wants you to come unto him. He says, come unto me, all you that labor and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. So can we focus in on that for the life of Nicodemus, this smart, brilliant man, and see these things? Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Right where it says introduction, stages of our salvation. Now, when you're saved instantaneously. But that song that we like to sing, God's Still Working on Me, is true. So the first stage is, it's like a little baby. When a baby comes home, he's not able to jump out of the crib and say, where's the cereal? Where's this? Where's that? Where's the playroom? Where's the toys? Where's the car? He's just there crying, Mama, take care of me. Dad, take care of me. That's the picture of you and I in spiritual condition when we get saved. We're just saved. And we as a church sometimes fail miserably in this area of helping people along in their Christian growth. Would you that have been on the road a while say amen to that? We need to do more care for those. One of the things that we're doing here at the church is we have begun a men's Bible study, which has really took off and sparked a lot of interest and a lot of encouragement to some people. And hopefully to produce some leadership. So stage one, you have to make sure. And when Jesus said to Nicodemus, you know, you're trying to do the stages backward. You're trying to study. You're trying to know the God of Israel. And you don't even know Jesus Christ as your Savior. So you're in trouble, bud. You're in big trouble, dude. You got a problem here. You have to be born again. And you show how ignorant he was. He says, how do I do that? How do I get into my mother's womb and come forth a second time? Most of what many churches and many Christians think is our physical makeup and what we do physically after we're saved means we're saved. Well, you can, as you've heard me say, you can take a pig, get him out of the mud hole, put him in the bathtub, wash him up, put Chanel number 9 on him, blue ribbon in one ear, pink one in another one, a red one in his tail. But you know what you got when you got all that? You still got a pig. You turn him loose, he's going to go back to the pig pen because that's all he knows. Many Christians, that's all they do. They come to church, they write out the check, give the money, do whatever they do. They stand, know when to stand and sing. They know the verses by heart. They know all that good stuff, but they don't know Jesus Christ in their heart. They haven't been born again. I fear many of our church and much of our problems is we're dealing with people who can't see spiritual issues because they've not been born again. You have to have a spiritual eye from inside, and we'll see that in some scripture in Corinthians here in a moment. So stage one, we have to enter with Jesus Christ at stage one, being born again, accepting him as our personal Savior. Stage two is what we call sanctification. That's growing in Christ. And what you're doing here now, what we do in the Bible study, by the way, the new booklets are back there for this month, so get yours. I mean, July coming up. And studying that, doing what Travis is talking about, talking to people about Jesus, and along with that is part of your sanctification progress. And if you don't do that, then you become stagnant or stalemate, and you're almost like the guy who can't see the kingdom of God because he's not saved, but you can't see it because and visualize it really the way you should because you're stumbling around and not moving forward with it. You know, I can get a boat and sit in my front yard and have all the nice rod and reels that they sell at wherever you buy them at and sit there, and you can drive by my house and see me casting out my lures and saying, "What are you doing? You're an idiot." "Oh, I'm fishing." No, you're not fishing. You're pretending. Well, that's where some people are in their sanctification process. They're just pretending. They're doing a lot of practicing of stuff that doesn't bring any knowledge or any light of Jesus Christ to their life. So salvation, sanctification. And that is a lifelong process. Take your pulse. You got a pulse? Feel, make sure you got one. Some of you, I'm not sure. Okay, I'm alive. So he's still working on you. You haven't reached perfection. There's none of us perfect. You said it right. I like that. None of us. I'm not. You're not. We're not going to be as long as we're here. We have a goal that we push toward, but we will be in one day, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But I must work at this. See, I don't have to work to be saved, but Jesus saved me to do good works because I am saved. And I can only do those if I become sanctified, growing in God's grace. That's what it means. But many Christians don't get there. And sometimes it's hard work, so we don't want to get there. It's a one-on-one process. Nobody can make you grow in Christ. You have to want to. You know, if the baby doesn't suck that bottle, then he's not going to grow. And if he don't get exercise, he's not going to grow. If he doesn't have a good home, he's not going to grow the way he should grow. So sanctification is a endurance race from the birth of your salvation until we reach, look at the last stage, glorification. That's when you'll receive your perfect body. That's when you'll be with Jesus. And that's where you'll be with Christ in heaven. But we're not there yet. Many preachers sometimes, and sometimes Christians, are trying to make people perfect when they themselves are not perfect, and people can become frustrated and they think, "Well, I just can't do this." Well, let's take what you can do. When I was teaching in public school, they used to give me the slow learning kids. One day one of the kids asked me, he said, "Mr. Hodge, why do they send all the dumb kids like us to you?" I said, "Because I'm the dumbest teacher they got in here. We're going to get along fine." And I'd find out where that kid is. I couldn't try to make him do the same level of work of that people were doing that were brilliant IQs and had all this stuff and knew everything. He's down here. It's like if I'm going to have you jump a 6-foot bar, I start you out at 1 foot or wherever you can jump and keep working you your way up. And one day, man, you got a pole vault and you can run through the church and go all the way over the ceiling. In your spiritual life, I'm speaking about. You understand the connection, right? So that's how we get there. But don't become frustrated. And it's like what they say, if it's tough, we need the tough to get going, right? And he's still working on me. We need all that. Now look at this passage that I've been speaking about, how you have the Christian ability to see what God wants you to see and see spiritual issues. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, I believe it's on the screen, right, Jason? Okay, But as it's written, I had not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God had prepared for them that loved him. Now, most people stop there. They say, oh, Pastor Hodge, that verse says, you just can't know the things of God. Let's read on, dummy. Verse 10 says, but, you know, when but comes along, it means the thing's going to change. When and comes along, it means more of the other stuff. And you got to go see this doctor, Pastor Hodge. And you got to go see this doctor. But at the end of all that, you're going to be well. So look what he says. But God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. So you have to be born again. You have to be saved to have the Spirit of God. And then you can know the things God wants you to know. But if you don't, you can't. You follow me? I went around the bush pretty fast, didn't I? You got that? A guy told somebody the other day he couldn't follow me or understand me. I'm telling you, that guy's really slow because I'm slow with getting there. But we understand the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. So you can know the deep things of God. But I've heard so many preachers quote that verse 9. You just can't know them. You just can't know them. When did you stop reading? Okay? For the Spirit reveals them to us. Verse 11, for what man knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of man? And notice a little S there, because it's talking about your spirit. When it's talking about the Holy Spirit back here, we have the capital S, the Holy Spirit. You have access to the Holy Spirit. And we're going to read on and see that you have the mind of Christ. You have the ability to think like Christ after you're saved. But you have to be born again. That's why Nicodemus, you know everything in the Old Testament, but you don't know Jesus. That's sad, isn't it? You can wear some of those guys that come in church, have those twin ribbons in the Scofield Bible, they could flip them out so quick it would cut you and know the plan of salvation forward and backward, but they don't know Jesus. They don't know Jesus. They know it all. You can go to all the classes and all the understanding. He says in verse 12, now look what he says, now we have received. Didn't say we will receive. We have received. Not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. God wants you to know. God makes it available. Did you know this book is still the number one seller of all books? I have one in all my vehicles. I have two or three at the church. I have one at home. I have them lying everywhere. We have to read it. We have to study it. Of course, it's easy to lay in bed and say, well, good morning to sleep in. I've been getting up early every day this week. I think I'll sleep in a little bit. But if I want to know the things of God as a Christian, I put my nose to the grindstone. When I used to run marathons, I was out at 4:30 or 5 o'clock running up and down the road. They used to say that crazy old man running up and down the road in his underwear. What's wrong with him? I was wearing my sweats, and sometimes I'd come in with a big chunk of ice when it was zero around my head. Literally. And my wife come out rubbing her eyes. She said, John, look at you. You got ice all over you. That I said, it feels good. She said, if you lie about that, you'd lie about something else. I said, no, it really feels good. Feels good, right? Why did I do that? Because I wanted to do it. I wanted to run a marathon, and I did. You know, we have to say, I want to do this. You know? The Army, they didn't wait. They'd come along and kick the bunk over on you. One time of that was enough for me, right? Didn't wait anymore for that. The minute I heard that footsteps in that hall, man, I was out on the floor standing up and make, here, it's me, I'm up. Don't turn my bed over. Yeah. Bounce a quarter off of your bed. Did they ever do that to you, Roger? Yep. I feel sorry for people that didn't have to go through that. So he says, verse 14, look, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish unto him, neither can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. So you have people in church, or some are teachers, some are leaders. They've never been born again. They're like Nicodemus. So they're coming from a natural perspective instead of a spiritual perspective. People said, are you discouraged, Pastor Hodge? No, I was a little disappointed. What's the next step? What's the next door? I don't have any choices. Besides that, and where's Carol at? She was talking about whiners this morning. I said, you're talking about me. And what did you tell them, Carol? Because I'm not what? I'm not a whiner, right? Is that what you said? I'm not a whiner. You can whine, complain, slow everybody down, find all the reasons why you can't do it, or you can do it. I just can't give up my snuff. I just can't quit smoking. I just can't give up this. I can't give up that. I can't do this. Yes, you can. You can do whatever you want to do. And if you want to die and go to hell against the will of God, you can do that too. God has made salvation. He's published it over airwaves. This is going out to, I saw on the screen or on my cell phone the other day, I think it's 900 and some people in a certain amount of time who we've touched. And of those 900 and some people, 700 and some actually connected with us. They didn't just look at it. They connected. So is it worth it? Don't cost us a dime, except maybe a little electricity. I don't know. I don't believe in the Facebook. I don't believe in this. I don't believe in that. Don't believe in nothing. Don't believe in doing nothing. Just sit around and gripe and complain. Either get in or get out. Amen. I told you, I told my brother I wanted to swim, and I wanted to swim, and he said, leave me alone, I can't take you swimming. One day he said, come on, I've had enough of this. He took me to the river where Mom couldn't hear me squall, and he took and throwed me about as far near that wall. I landed right in the middle of the river. Man, I was fighting. I thought, I'm dead. And next thing he pulled me up, slapped the water out of me. He said, how you doing? I said, I'm going to drown. No, come on, swim. I figured out I better swim or I am going to drown. Amen. You got to decide, I want to be better tomorrow than I am today. I want to be more tomorrow than I am today. I don't want to go on through life like this. I want to be a better person. And I'm a Christian. I know I've been saved. Back to that. You got to know that first. Not joining church, not being baptized as a baby. Oh, yeah, Pastor Hodge, I was baptized when I was in the cradle roll. What's that mean? Took a little dry center and put him in a few drops of water on him, and all he has got a few drops of water on a wet center. Huh? You can't put faith in what man does. Oh, I'm going down to the river and get baptized and wash my sins away. I asked this guy one time, there people actually believe that. Preachers actually preach that. Getting baptized washes your sins away. I said, okay, you're baptizing in the river up here. Where's your sins go? They go down the river. I said, okay, now we got another preacher down here, and he's baptizing down here in the same water that you got your sins washed away. What happened to the sins? They get all over these people. Oh, I don't worry about that. I said, wow. Wow. Yeah, really. I mean, people make no sense, you know. And people sit and listen in churches like that to stuff. Go to the Catholic church, talk to the man behind the booth. You know, say five Hail Marys and come back tomorrow and give me $50 more and we'll take the sin that you committed. And on they go with this crazy stuff. No wonder people are confused. No wonder people don't know where they go. No wonder there's fighting. No wonder the homes are broken up. No wonder that people don't believe in the Catholic Church anymore. Wrong to get started in anyway. So, we got to have a spiritual mind. He says in verse 15, but he that is spiritual judgeth all things, yea, himself is judge of no man. Did you ever hear people say, oh, you're judging, don't judge people? If I'm going to cut a board 6 foot long, do I say, oh, that looks like about 6 foot and start cutting, Woody? I get a thing called a ruler that measures. I didn't say that board was 6 foot long. That ruler said it was 6 foot long. When the Bible says something about somebody, I'm saying what the judge said. And I'm supposed to do that. He says on over there, in the last days, we'll judge angels. When he was talking about not judging, he was talking to the Sanhedrin who wasn't saved, and they were making judgments about other people, and they were doing the same thing. He said, therefore, you can't qualify as a judge. And if you're a Christian, and you've got a pack of Winstons in your pocket, and you're talking to a man about salvation, he's going to say, how can you tell me anything? I like the guy that said, I can quit smoking anytime I want to. Well, if you never wanted to, you must be a nut. Right? Cancer and whatever else you get. By the way, I asked the doctor. I smoked and chewed and did everything else. I'd have smoked logs if somebody held them when I was a kid. But the doctor said I didn't do it long enough and it's been too long ago. So whatever. Whatever I did was stupid, right? Right? Just stupid. If you do it, you're stupid, right? Fire on one end, a fool on the other one, right? You know what I mean? I mean, hey, let's tell it like it is. Oh, it's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Yep. Now notice what he says. Verse 16, for who hath known the mind of the Lord that we may instruct him? But we have, read it with me, we have the mind of Christ. That says I have the ability to think like Christ would think about things. That's what it says, right? Oh, it's just so deep to me, Pastor Hodge. What is it, Lou? Sixth grade level, this book is written. Now, you got to be really dumb not to read sixth grade level. Even I made that. I passed that course. As a matter of fact, you will not believe this. I got an English award one time because I knew proper English and all that. Somebody said, why don't you use it? They didn't tell me to use it. They just told me to write down answers to the question. You can answer the questions and still not know what it's all about. A monkey can pull the right lever. Do you know what I mean? I know. You're looking at me puzzled, but that's okay. It'll sink in about the time you get ready to eat, and you'll have to get up and go away from the table and laugh. All right, we're ready to start preaching. I didn't know I was going to be this good this morning. And I haven't even got started. I mean, good for me, though, we're still down here. I'm still in a special ed class. You understand? I'm just jumping a small bar. So have patience with me. Let's look at some things, though, quickly here. We got about 5 minutes. Nicodemus did not understand spiritual things because he was not born again. We read that verse. Who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. He didn't have the mind of Christ. But thank God he was smart enough to know he didn't want to ask somebody that did. He didn't say, well, I'm just going to let God figure it all out. When the end comes, I'll stand before God and he'll look at the good things I did and the bad things I did. And my good things will probably outweigh my bad things. You ever hear anybody think like that? I thought like that till one day I looked at my bad things and I thought, wow, no way I'm going to make it. When I first started searching for Christ, I was overseas and the first church I could find, which is a shame to us. Do you ever go to Europe and see all the beautiful cathedrals, Catholic churches? Where's the Baptist churches? What's wrong with us? So I went to the Catholic church. And I didn't get much out of that. Next church I went to was a Presbyterian. And I want to tell you, they had an organ with pipes that would reach all the way across this church. Boom, 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 boom. And that choir got up there, and the preacher did not preach in tongues, but that choir sung in a tongue I couldn't understand. And then the preacher got up in his fancy robe. Did you ever see that guy out in California? Swipping that robe around, preaching. Yeah, I'll get his name here for you directly. He's funny. He said, now today we'll be discussing how Peter walked on the water. I thought, oh, my Lord, Peter walking on the water. And Peter walked on the water because he had the glorious faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. I thought, I was talking to that guy a minute ago. He didn't talk like that back here. How come he changed his voice up there? And he switched that robe again like an acrobat and put on a good show. I thought, there's no way I'm ever going to walk on water. This is the wrong place for me. Finally, I went to the army chaplain because I was having a bad drinking problem. And I said to the army chaplain, I'm afraid I'm going to die and go to hell. He said, we all might wind up there. He reached down in his desk drawer, pulled out a fifth of whiskey, had two shot glasses, poured one for himself and one for me. He said, have one. I thought, well, if he needs it, I need it. He said, now what did you say your problem was? After two more, I didn't have any problems. Really, that was an Army chaplain. Do you know what happened to that Army chaplain? His wife finally committed suicide, and they put him in a nut ward out in Fort Bragg, North Carolina. I'm telling you the truth. He was a full bird colonel, ready to make general, I think. But what can we say? What can we say? He didn't know Jesus. You've got to have the mind of Christ. Now we see he couldn't understand the kingdom of God. He couldn't understand. People say, I don't understand why you go to church. It's part of the way we build the kingdom of God. Jesus didn't say, I'll build my halfway house. He didn't say, I'll build McDonald's so you can go over there on Sunday morning and or you can go out in the woods and get on a rock and get more out of it. He didn't say that. He said, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. But he made the church. I'll build the church. I want you in it, whether you like it or not. All right? I know we run our homes different than I did, but if you were going to eat any meal in our house, you better be at the table on time. There wasn't any grabbing a Pepsi and a pizza and running to the living room watching TV. So that's why people think church is like that. I just do whatever I want to. Take my Pepsi into church and leave when I want to. It's hard work growing in the Lord. He was a smart man, full of knowledge, but lost. Point number three, see that? Number four, he taught the things of God, and you have the ability to keep learning spiritual things. Mind of Christ. You have to have the mind of Christ. People say, let's get so-and-so to teach a class. They got a college education. Well, maybe so. But do they know Jesus Christ as their Savior? I'm amazed that people, and I've told you this before, in this town, I think I'm running out of the stuff you need, or I'm getting too much of it or something. Excuse me a minute. Hey, they want to know before, here's the people who don't go to church, don't take their kids to church. When we pick up their kid, I want to know what you're teaching my kid up there, Pastor Hodge. I said, may I ask you a question first? I'm like Jesus. I answer questions by asking questions. I said, do you go down to the Collinsburg school where your kid goes to school and ask every teacher what they're teaching your child? She said, no, I don't. I said, they're teaching them evolution. They're teaching them transvestites. They're teaching them all this garbage. And we're teaching the Bible. And you want to know what I'm teaching? You're concerned I might be teaching something wrong, but you let them teach that stuff down there? Huh? Hello? Aren't we really stupid when you stop and think about it? Isn't it a wonder our parenting? We need to get on. It's feeding time, isn't it? When the calves start bawling, it's feeding time. Lost people have to be taught salvation before they can see or understand the need for spiritual things. 1 Corinthians 2:9, but it's written, I had not seen, and we talked about that verse before. So I'll shut up and leave that alone for a while and save something for next time, right? Aren't you glad you came to church this morning? How many of you are glad you came? How many would rather be here in the best jail? Best hospital? Yeah. Yeah, I look at those doctors that are working on me. Got plaques on their office wall. Went to certain places in Ohio, Illinois, Wisconsin, and got this degree and got that degree. And wow. But I'm still hurting, Doc. I still got the stuff. Well, we just got to get to the bottom of this. I know. That's what I'm trying to do. Have you got to the bottom of spiritual things in your life? You know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Stand to your feet a moment. And if you know you're born again and saved, and Jesus has saved you, would you raise your hand? All right, you're a candidate to do anything God wants you to do. You can teach a Sunday school class. You can sing in the choir. All you got to do is stand next to somebody who knows how to sing and listen to them. You know who taught me how to sing here in this church? Where's Darren at? Is he back there? First Christmas play, Darren taught me to sing. I couldn't get those notes down at all, but he's showing me how to hold it there. Yes, sir. You can learn a lot, but you got to, If you want a drink of water, you got to get where the spout comes out. Amen? All right? You can drag a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. One last story. You thought I was through, didn't you? One day I didn't want to go to school and I pretended to be sick. Dad said to Mom, let him go barn with me. And he was cleaning out the barn stalls. He said, we'll make this faster. You can take the horse down to water. So he put me up on the horse. I'm about 6, 7, I forget. The horse started going. He said, now, keep his head up. Whew, keep his head up. That horse took that bridle and pulled it out of my hand, went down the bank, and when we got to the bank, to the creek, I ended up splat right in the water. I come back, sopping wet, leading the horse. You didn't keep his head up, did you? I said, no, he threw me off. You know, you got to learn. You got to learn. Life's rough. But stick in there. All right. You're saved. You know you're saved. Would you bow your heads while she plays softly for a minute? In just a moment, Travis is going to lead us in a couple verses of a song. Or more if he wants to. That's his business. But while you're thinking about your salvation, if you're here this morning and you're not 100% sure that if you die, that you'd go to heaven, you're depending on good works, you're depending on something else, depending on how many churches you attend or how many you didn't attend or how many times you said Hail Mary. It's all wrong, folks. You got to know you had a personal experience with Jesus Christ. And if you don't know that, would you raise your hand so I could pray for you and say, Pastor, pray for me. Please pray for me. Would you say, I've got the salvation, but the sanctification part's getting a little rough. I need some help with that, Pastor Hodge. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand? Maybe you're perfectly sanctified. Thank you. You feel like you're fully spiritually grown and ready for heaven. But you need a little more. Well, God bless you. Almighty God and Heavenly Father, we thank you for the church this morning. We thank you for Jesus Christ. We thank you for salvation. We thank you, Lord, that you're not through with us. You're still working on us. You left us here for a reason. We got all kinds of opportunities in our bulletin to serve God. Lord, help us to do the work till you come. And one day we'll see you face to face. And oh, will we be glad when we see your smile and you'll say, welcome home. You've been faithful over a few things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. Oh God, thank you for that hope and that promise. While she plays one more verse like that, would you, if you need to come and give anything to God and speak to him about your sanctification, your growing in grace, come right on. That's what this altar is for. We all need it, folks. We all need it. There's not a one of us that hasn't got some area that God doesn't want to work out of us and work his grace into us. And that takes a lot of working on us. Surrender it all. Travis, what number?
All to Jesus I surrender, all to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence. Daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all. Verse 3. All to Jesus I surrender, Lord, I give myself to thee. Fear
Covenants Warden, we need to make an announcement. Tonight, we'll be having a special graduation ceremony for Mr. Dalton over here. And real proud of this kid. He's past me and growing. Good-looking boy. And I'll tell you, I hope he don't get mad at me, but I couldn't help but see it. I come by to talk to him, and the kid works like a grown man. He had his checkbook out, and I didn't see how much he was writing, but he was writing a church check. I hope everybody gets along like that, don't you? Amen. So we're going to have cake and ice cream afterwards up at the building up there. I'll try to be brief in my remarks down here. We're going to present him with the Bible and a few things, and then we'll go up to the Family Life Center and have our cake and ice cream. And I still can't eat it, but I'm still going to be there. I really, really miss being at the church like I like to. I love pastoring a church. I hope you all know that. The thing I miss most is preaching. I love the preaching, but it's coming. And if it don't, either coming or going, we'll see you here, there, and the air. All right? Brother Roy, would you have a closing prayer, please?